Soul Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
On this program, we talk about paying attention to what you want to become rather than to what you want to overcome. By following this principle, you keep moving forward and you don't get mired in fear, doubt, or the past. Life actually becomes less of a struggle. Sometimes, however, things get in the way of our ability to really focus on what we want to become. Most often, those things are our own emotions, and when our emotions stand between us and the wealth we both want and could have, pain results. That's when we need to look at and work with what stands between us and our personal place of becoming. And that's what today's guest, Chaney Weiner, can help us with. He's here today to talk about how to manage your emotions so you can have more wealth. Welcome to Full Power Living. We're the only show on international media dedicated to the exploration and understanding of emotions and their role in human life. I'm Eileen Dillon, your creator and host, and during this broadcast, we invite you to interact with us on our chat here on the emotionalpro.com page and also on the blog talk radio /FPL for Full Power Living radio page. We also have a toll-free number, 800-630-7858. That's 800-630-7858. And we'd certainly love to hear your comments and questions. Chaney Weiner is a sought-after authority on human potential and personal development, and he's the founder of the Chaney Institute of Human Potential, an organization that's dedicated to empowering people worldwide in all seven areas of life: the financial, physical, family, mental, spiritual, vocational, and social. Chaney's an acknowledged transformational leader, a leading expert on success and raising human potential, and has inspired millions of people around the world, sharing his breakthrough methods for personal and professional success. Chaney has also had his work featured on Montel Across America with Montel Williams, Hollywood Confidential with Lisa Gibbons, and the Martha Stewart Living Radio and Hay House Radio, and as well as he's doing today, he's on hundreds of radio shows throughout the world. So, Chaney Weiner, welcome to Full Power Living.
Well, thank you for having me back on, and we can add your show to that list as well.
That's right. That's right. You've been here with us a few times now. So, let's start with talking about what wealth actually is, because to you, wealth is not just about money. Talk with us a bit about what wealth is, Chaney.
Yeah, that's a really important point and question and, let's say, line of discussion, because typically people do relate, and when they think of wealth, they think of money and finances, which is absolutely true. However, I like to expand that a little further and look at wealth in each of the seven areas of life. And you mentioned those seven areas. I'll mention them again. It's spiritual, it's mindset development, it's your career, of course, your finances and money, your family and, let's say, intimate relationships. You have your social network or your friends, and, of course, your physical health. And the reason that you want to think in terms of having wealth in any of these areas of life is because when you have, or I'll say it like this, when the universe, I'll use the universe in this case, sees that you have, or that you're acknowledging that you already have wealth, then you get more wealth to acknowledge. Now, many people listening to this will say, well, that's great. Well, I may have wealth in, or let me say it like this. Let's take a man and a woman. I'm going to give a real tangible example here. If you have a man, and the most important thing to him in his life is business and finances, well, his wealth is going to be in his business and in his finances. Now, let's say his wife, the most important thing to her is her family and maybe her physical beauty. Well, to her, her wealth is going to be her family and her physical beauty. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that to her husband, the family doesn't count. It's just, it may not be as high on his values or high on his priorities as in, as physical health and family as it is with her. So the idea here is that his wealth is going to be in those two areas, finances and business, career, and her wealth is going to be in her physical health, her beauty, and her family. And the reason this is important is because when you're able to see that you already have wealth in some area of your life, which we all do, and the same goes for success as well, like I was saying before, you get more of it. Now, the question that always comes up here is, well, great, what if I have wealth in my family and in my beauty, but I want to have more in the finances? That gets into learning how to shift those values and bring having more money, and we'll get more into this as we move along, bringing more money and having more money higher up onto your priorities so you can have that, so you can attract that into your life. And I want to say one more thing about this, and that is the reason that this is important, because again, when you're able to acknowledge that you already have it. In fact, I like to give another analogy. Let's say you go to a bank and you want to borrow $100,000. Well, the bank's going to want to see, or financial institution's going to want to see collateral and just something that can back up what they're going to loan you. Typically, it's collateral, credit. Well, it's the same thing here, except we're not dealing with a bank. We're dealing with the world, the universe, society, however you want to look at that. It's the same thing here. When you acknowledge that you have that wealth already, you have a very high probability of drawing more of that to you. And again, it's going to depend on your priorities and then shifting your values, which I mentioned before. So that's just a general overview of why it's important to look at wealth beyond just the money, because I want everyone listening to acknowledge and know that they already have it in their life. Then it's just a matter of, like I said, shifting those values and just making it a higher priority, and then you start to attract that into your life.
Well, so if you're talking, Chaney, it sounds to me, correct me here if this isn't right, but I'm thinking if one or two things mean wealth to me and two or three things mean wealth to somebody else, then what really we're talking about is a feeling, as long as we're focusing on emotions here, we're talking about a feeling that I would have when I identify myself as having wealth. Is that accurate?
Yeah, you could look at, in fact, that's a very good way to look at it. That we're starting to get a little bit into what we're going to talk about with the whole emotions, but yes, it is a feeling, and that feeling is typically, well, in this case, it's going to be based, again, on your values or things that are most important to you, but it is a feeling, and to make this as simple as possible for what we're going to be talking about, that does tie in with the emotions as well. So I'm glad you brought up about the whole feeling part of it, because it is important to have that feeling towards whatever it is that you would love to have. But again, if you take the woman who things most important to her are family and physical beauty, she's going to have more of that feeling, that energy, if you will. Let's just say the feeling towards that. Maybe not as much money and finance, because it's not going to be high on her values. But of course, those feelings could be adjusted, shifted, and changed around as well, depending, again, on whatever it is that you want to have more of in your life.
But I was sort of wondering, though, when I ask about the feeling, that if I know what the feeling is in one area, then I can work on shifting, making the shift that you were talking about, by imagining or seeking or moving that feeling to another area. Does it work that way?
Yeah, in fact, the way I like to look at it, and I actually speak about this in my Breakthrough to Achieve program, your thoughts plus your feelings really gives rise to your emotions. And when someone has a thought about something, now I'm going to keep this simple. When we have thoughts about things, it's one thing to have a thought that says, I want to have more money, I want to have more money, but it's another thing to have a high, this comes back to what I was saying before, to have a high value on it. So if you're having those thoughts of, wow, I really want to have money, and you're putting a high value and a high priority on it, that thought plus the feeling is going to give rise to those emotions. And it's the emotions and the energy as a result of that. That's what goes out, I'll just call it out into the universe, and it puts that vibe out there. I like to use it puts that energy out there, and that's also is what's going to inspire you to take action on that.
Uh-huh.
And that's really important to know. So I'm glad you brought up about the thoughts, because the thoughts are important, the feelings are important, the emotions, and certainly the perceptions, because this all, it's sort of like, not sort of like, but you can look at it as a formula, like if you're mixing, we can say water and maybe protein powder and maybe fruit. You're mixing things together to form a drink. Well, here we're bringing in thoughts plus feelings plus emotions, and that yields to taking inspired action. And you put that energy out there, and you start bringing attracting opportunities and bringing more opportunities to people and the situations to you. So yes, the thoughts are important. But just look at it as a puzzle as well. There's all these little parts that really add up, that really make all the difference in the world for you.
Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. Now, so to go a little bit more into the emotion stuff, the number one obstacle you say that holds people back from their own wealth is their own emotions. And so what emotions are you talking about, and how do you come to this conclusion?
Well, the first thing I want to say about that, because it's really important, and I love this quote by Warren Buffett. He says, until you can manage your emotions, don't ever expect to be able to manage wealth. And I'm bringing that up for a reason, because just from a general standpoint, it's important to manage your emotions, both the positive and the negative ones, because if you don't, you'll have a tendency to do foolish things, and weird stuff will happen, things along that line. Now, in terms of the emotions, typically the emotions that I'm talking about are fear, guilt, regret, resentment, stress, depression, betrayal, feelings of grief, feelings of loss, and also, believe it or not, intimidation comes into play as well. And certainly, depending on the person, it's going to vary depending on their situation. Now, as far as where or how I have come up with this, that's a very interesting question, because I've seen this in my own experience, and I've seen this in experiences of other people. In fact, I can just give you a quick story with me. I got into a situation where I got involved. I used to be involved in the fitness industry, and I moved out to California because a person who was living out there asked me to be his partner in his training studio. He had a little facility, and I drove out there. I was living in New Jersey. I drove out there, and to make the long story short of it, I got a very unusual feeling about this, and I backed out of the deal, but I had already given them $30,000. I never got the money back. Now, at the time, I really didn't realize what was going on, but you know, when I traced it back and looked at it, I got, let's just say, somewhat elated. I don't want to say cocky, but really up, even in my own mind. And what happened was, I attracted that situation to me to basically get me to realize, hey, you know, keep yourself calm, keep yourself poised, and not get way, way up. So in my case was a little unique, but I wasn't able to manage my emotions, because I was thinking, wow, this guy's asking me to be his partner, Southern California, wow, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to make all this money, all this great stuff is going to happen. I didn't think of the other side, and I just saw things in a one-sided way. So in my situation, I wasn't able to manage my emotions. Now, obviously, this occurs on varying degrees, but in my case, it had to do with that, which then led to the other types of emotions where I was saying, oh, God, I really wish I didn't do that. I didn't really resent him so much. At first, I kind of did, and then I got over that. And then I, in a sense, felt guilty. So I had each of those emotions that I mentioned before in there to some degree, but it wasn't until I really figured out which was the main one, and it was really intimidation, or I was minimizing myself to this person thinking he had something that I didn't, and that's what really led to me having that type of a situation, and then once I realized it and I started asking the right questions, I really dissolved that issue, and it really has allowed me to move on with my life and really doing the things that I'm doing right now.
It's so amazing how we get set up like that. I can't tell you the number of people I talk with on this radio program, Cheney, who get into the work that they're doing because of some loss or some trauma or, you know, something that they didn't expect coming up in their lives that got them to thinking, that drew their attention to that area. So that's interesting to hear your story.
Yeah, and in fact, since you brought that up, the most important part about that is I was mentioning some of those emotions before. See, typically people who go through something like this, now obviously my story is going to be different from someone else's because we all have different stories, but really the important thing to take out of that is to come from a place of being thankful and grateful for it instead of saying, oh God, I wish this didn't happen, or I wish I had made a different decision, or even resenting the person. In fact, just as a side note, this particular person, I actually wrote him an email and thanked him. Because my thinking was, if I had those emotions running me, like, you know, this guy's a blah, 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 I knew that it was going to stop me in what I really wanted to do and to move on with my life. So I could have come from a place of being regretful and resentful towards him, or I could have moved on for it. Now, I didn't let him off the hook or forgive him or any of that. I thanked him because he actually did me a favor. He may not be aware of it, but I was. And when I tell people this, they you know, especially people who are close to me, they were saying, "How are you crazy?" Well, my answer to that was, I want to be in control and run my life and not have this guy run it for me. And
Amen. That
was a big, in a sense, wake-up call. So for people who are listening to the show, whatever your situation may be or may have been, I want you to realize that and learn from it and learn how to use it to help you get to where you would love to be in your life, whatever area of life that is for you.
That's really wonderful. One of the things that I teach people, Cheney, is to pay attention to what I'm trying to say here is the two saddest words in any language are if only. If only I hadn't done that. And what I've learned is that you replace it, the if only, with two other words, which is next time. And that's what your story illustrates that you did. You said, okay, well, next time I'll do this, but in the meantime, I'm going to see that I got value from this. And I think, in my view, as a therapist, that's the thing to do with every situation that comes up, is look for the value in it. That old joke about a little child finding a pile of horse manure on Christmas morning, starts digging in it, saying, there must be a pony in here somewhere. It's like that one.
Well, you mentioned the key five-letter word, value. And, I mean, that pretty much says it all. I mean, you can look at that in many different ways. But, yeah, I mean, for me, there was a tremendous amount of value that came out of this, and it's important to look at things that way. Now, you know, it's easy. There's a reason I'm telling the story. Number one, it's a true story and happened to me, and I wouldn't be on this radio show right now if it didn't. But I also want people to identify with that in some way, because there are a lot of people out there who, in their mind and perception, feel or felt that they got ripped off or scammed. I mean, this happens a lot more than you think, and it's not a bad thing, but it's important to take the value, take the lessons from that, and learn how to channel that and point that in the positive direction and how it can help you in the different areas of your life. And that's really the big takeaway for all that.
Mm-hmm. Now, actually, we're up to our first break right now. But I'm kind of curious, if you use the word value and talk about value, and I'm wondering if beliefs and value and emotions work together, and I'd like to talk with you about that after the break. We're talking today with Cheney Weiner, founder of the Cheney Institute of Human Potential, about how to manage your emotions so you can have more wealth. More when we return. You're listening to Full Power Living.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
parent. Have you found all the parenting information you've been hearing lately a bit confusing? Are you having trouble sorting out the best response to your defiant child, or feeling hopeless about regaining respect from your teen, or determining whether your actions as a parent are the right ones? Instead of the usual pressures of parenting that you've been experiencing, you can partner with your child, raising incredible kids who are destined to become amazing adults. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, giving you the opportunity to become the incredible parent for incredible kids. We have the method and the tools. You bring your optimism for learning and the kids. Raise Incredible Kids offers a comprehensive system for raising kids who are responsible, make their own great decisions, and become immune to peer pressure. To get you ready for this new era in parenting, get my free 10-page report, Incredible Communication That Helps You Create Incredible Kids, by visiting RaiseIncredibleKids.com now. That's RaiseIncredibleKids.com. Welcome back to Full Power Living. Listen to these announcements. Our upcoming guests are listed at the top of the radio show page on emotionalpro.com, and next week we're looking into Roy Stemmons' Big Book of Reincarnation. Roy has some amazing stories about children who remember previous lives and recognize people and cars even from those lives when they're returned to the area of their previous life. It's fascinating stuff I'm sure you'll want to hear. Listen to us on Blog Talk Radio, emotionalpro.com, or subscribe to Full Power Living on iTunes, and we hope you don't miss any of our fascinating guests and their life-altering ideas and information. And we also want to thank you for listening and for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the mastery and power of human emotions. Please talk with us right now. We're toll-free, 800-630-7858. 800-630-7858. Today, we're talking with Chaney Weiner, founder of the Chaney Institute of Human Potential, about how to manage your emotions so you can have more wealth. And Chaney, before the break, I asked you to consider how beliefs and value and emotions may intersect. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up. And this is actually something that I haven't spoken about on a radio show in a while. In fact, I don't think at all. So this is the first time thing I'm going to talk about here. I mentioned values before, and I just want to clarify what I mean by that. Values are things that are most important to you. It's not the ethics and morals. That's not what I'm referring to. It's what's most important to you, the list of your highest priorities. Mm-hmm. Now, our values give rise to our perceptions. Our perceptions meaning how we see the world, how we view the world, and that those two together gives rise to our emotions. And this goes back to what I was saying earlier, when you have your thoughts plus your emotions gives rise to your feelings. So let me give you an example. Let's say you have a very high value on being on time, being punctual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what's going to happen there is that's going to give rise to your perception. So your perceptions in that case is going to be, well, anybody who is on time and is punctual, you know, you're going to perceive those people as being, let's say, well, you'll perceive them as being on time. You may perceive them as being honest as well. So you may perceive them as being true to their word. Now, if somebody comes along and is not punctual and is not on time, you're probably, or you're going to have a high probability or high probability of being annoyed by that. So your emotions is you're going to be annoyed, you may feel betrayed. And again, it's going to vary depending on the person. So your value in this case, being on time, being punctual, that gives rise to you perceiving that people who are on time are ethical, honest, whatever it is for you. And if someone's not on time, it's going to give, well, I'll say it like this, it's going to give rise to one of two emotions. People who are on time and punctual, you're going to think they're considerate and they're respectful, and someone who's not on time, you may consider them as being disrespectful and not honoring your time. And The reason this is important is because, again, it all starts with your values, which ultimately leads to your emotions. And then when you have the thoughts of certain things plus those emotions, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, the feelings. And it's that feelings that you put out there. That's the energy, if you will, that gets put out into the world, the universe. It's also feelings that other people pick up. And I'm sure, well, I know you have, I'm sure most people listening have heard of, well, you know, this person doesn't resonate with that one, or this topic may not resonate. You know, the whole resonation and getting a vibe for, well, this is in essence what it is. I'm just breaking it down a little more. It's important when it comes to different things in our lives, because if we get too up or we get too down, particularly too up about something, especially money, we're going to have a tendency to bring in the opposite to get us to, let's say, become more centered or get back to equilibrium. So in essence, it's a balancing act is really what I'm getting at. But they all play, they all interweave with each other. So that's why it's really important to be aware of your thoughts, be aware of your values, how you perceive things, because that's going to give rise to those emotions, which is typically going to be running the show for you in whatever area of life it is for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I work with emotions and help people with emotions, I'm interested in talking about mastery. But I notice you're talking about managing emotions. So talk to me a little bit more, Chaney, about managing those emotions. How, what's important to you? How do you go about leading people to manage their emotions?
Well, like I was saying before, it's a balancing act, and typically people will look at the negative emotions, but as maybe surprising and maybe shocking to some people, and this is going to sound, and you can take a look at this in your own life and you'll see it, but all those emotions, those negative emotions, stem from the highly positive ones. And what I mean by that is elation. Like, we've all seen people who think that they're above the world, they're cocky, they're puffed up, they're elated, that type of thing. And sometimes people refer to it as pride before the fall, so to speak. And this occurs in every area of life, whether it's relationship. And we've all gotten into relationships where we were infatuated with the person and we were way, way, way up. And what happened? They did something we didn't like, and then all of a sudden it's, oh, he's just like the rest of them, or she's just like the rest of them. Well, no, that person just has a different set of values. With finances, it's the same thing. I gave you my story. But typically people who win the lottery, in fact, here's another great example. In fact, this is probably the best example of managing emotions when it comes to money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard the statistic, 95% of the people who have won the big lotto jackpot, they go back to their previous financial situation. In most cases, it's even worse within 3 years.
Yes, I've seen programs on that. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
They have millions and millions of dollars, and they go in the hole.
Yeah, and in fact, I was just reading about the baseball player Jose Canseco yesterday, who made $45 million over the course of his baseball career. He just filed for bankruptcy.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, why is this important? Now, obviously, most of us, most of the people listening here are probably not making $45 million a year or that type of money, but it really doesn't matter, because when it comes to money, it's really important to be able to manage those emotions so you could put a higher value on money and save your money and build that financial wealth. Because typically when people get money, they think, oh, I'm going to buy the house, I'm going to buy the car, I'm going to go and spend it on this. I'm not saying those things aren't important, but also keep in mind that saving money, putting a value on money is important. So that's one of the ways that you want to manage your emotions when it comes to money, and especially if you have a big sum of it that's coming in. This goes back to the whole lottery thing. The reason why people, in essence, quote-unquote, blow their money is because they don't know how to manage their emotions. When that money comes in, they get all elated. I'm going to buy the house. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy that. And then you get all the other side stuff that comes in. People are asking them for loans. All of a sudden, friends who weren't friends in the past start coming out of the woodwork. People don't know what to do. And they go, oh, God, you know, I just want to have a good time. And next thing you know, they go through all the money. And then you have the people who come in who maybe want to start a business with you and, you know, that type of thing. And then all of a sudden you think you got scammed. So all these weird things start to happen if you're not managing your emotions. So I do want to mention one more thing about this. So what can you do in those types of situations? Well, if you do have a lot of money coming in, or really It doesn't even have to be a lot of money. It could be your paycheck. Just understanding, hey, you know, what are my responsibilities? What are my accountabilities? What is... This is particularly true with if you get a lot of money that comes in. And it doesn't have to be in the form of the lottery, because it's a very interesting thing I came across. And I don't know if you were aware of this, but the average person over their lifetime earns $1.5 million.
No, I wasn't aware of that.
If you include work, and that's average. It's actually a little higher than that, but they just took an average. And that's pretty interesting. And if you run the numbers, those of you who are number-oriented, you'll pretty much see that. Now, obviously, bills and all that stuff comes up, but the bottom line is you put a high value on money and know how to manage those emotions when the money comes in. By knowing how to put the high value on money and saving it, and you don't go and spend it on maybe eating out four times a week and that type of stuff, and all of a sudden you're building a nice financial fortune. So I'm kind of getting into the money part of it, but it's really important, because when you're able to do this and you just be patient and do this over time, next thing you know, you have a pretty big financial fortune sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the chat, we're asked what exactly is the remedy for all this miscreation. And as I'm listening, I'm thinking, well, if I win the lottery and I end up spending it all, then my value is more on what I can get for myself, more on what I can get right now, and not on the long term. And so can we put those two together, that we need, if we should be the person who wins the lottery, then we need to really have our value set on, you know, enjoy some now and save some for later? And what other what other things can we do to remedy all of this?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up long-term and gratification, because long-term vision pays, short-term gratification costs. And if you apply that to money, it's pretty obvious. If you're patient and you think long-term versus thinking short-term, you're going to have a high probability of having that a financial fortune. Now, in terms of your question and the remedy of what we can do, one thing that I definitely recommend people to do, and this again goes back to putting a higher value on money, just very simple question. Just ask yourself why. Most important question, which is a three-letter word, is why. Why do I want to have more money and financial freedom? And write at least 500 to 1,000 reasons why. And I know that sounds like a lot of reasons, but you know what? When you do that, you actually are forcing your brain to work. And it's going to really inspire you to not only save the money, but to take action, provide a valuable service to other people to also help in that as well. And I know it sounds like a very simple thing, but just ask that question, you know, why? Because when you have enough reasons why, not only will the house take care of themselves, but you're going to have a very high probability of following through on it and being more accountable and being more responsible. And it may not seem like that great an exercise at first, but I do this every day, and I think I have about 1,500 to 2,000 reasons why I want more money and want to have financial freedom. And you can word it however you want. I would come from the place of financial freedom, because it's one thing to have a lot of money, but the question is, are you keeping it? So you want to ask, why do I want to save money, invest money, and have financial freedom? However you want to ask that question, and take the time to do this. Now, you don't have to sit in one sitting and come up with 500 to 1,000 reasons. If you could, great. I do this every day. I just do it and do it and do it. And I have over 1,500 reasons, because when you do this, you train your mind. And then when those situations come your way, you'll act accordingly and you won't do foolish things with your money. So this is one way to help you in managing those emotions. So I recommend
so
everybody
the question
do that.
The question that comes to my mind, Janie, is, are you living in anticipation of these big amounts that are coming to you, or are you actually managing money that's already come to you by doing all these 500 to 1,000 things every day, your training of your mind?
So, say that one more time, just so I understand.
Well, you were talking about you were training your mind by doing 500 to 1,000 of these reasons every day. And the thought, this is a little tongue-in-cheek, you know, have you already gotten the millions of dollars or are you waiting in anticipation for them so you'll be ready?
That's a great question. Well, this again goes back to the whole values, because when you have the high value on money, what's going to happen is when you ask this question of why, see, here's the thing. Let me say it like this. Most people, obviously, when they start out doing something like this, they're not going to have the financial freedom and the money right there. There's nothing wrong with that, but the key is to be on track. Because, see, many times people will say, well, yeah, you're just writing it down. That's just a pipe dream. That's just a fantasy. Well, no, it's not. If you have a plan, a strategy, and you have an idea of how you're going to go about it, and you have enough reasons why, and you're saving money, it doesn't have to be $5,000 a week. It could be $5 a month, but something that shows that you're on track. Because the key is being on track. As long as you're on track and you're demonstrating that you're taking steps to get there and there's some physical evidence that's showing up, some tangible evidence that's showing up, then that's fine. So when you're answering the why question, you can put in there whatever it is for you, but make sure that those are realistic. I mean, if you're putting in there, well, why I want to have money and financial freedom, so I'm just going to make up a crazy one here, so I can build a space station on the planet Jupiter, obviously that's not very realistic. So it's important to keep it realistic, but something that you can back up in some way, something that shows that you're on track for that, because that's the big thing with affirmations and visualizations and that type of thing, is people will typically come up with those affirmations and visualization of things that are not realistic and things that they're not even on track for. So it's important to be aware of that. No, it doesn't have to be in your life now, but I like to use that on track, tangible evidence. So look for that in your life and start taking those little baby steps, because when you take those baby steps, they just grow. In fact, I love the quote by John DeMartini. He says, piggy banks become biggie banks. So when you put out a little money here and there and just be steady with it and just stay on track, it grows and grows and grows. And then the people who see that maybe a few years later go, wow, well, how did that happen? Well, how it happened is I put in the time and effort and I was patient over time, because most people are looking for that instant gratification like you were mentioning earlier. And the people who are coming from that mindset are going to get very emotional. They're going to get very emotionally high, so to speak, and they're going to go right through their money and never save anything. And that's what most people actually end up doing.
Mm-hmm. All right, we have a challenge from one of the people on the chat. Do short-term immediate gratification types simply have to become long-term oriented, or do you have any ways of working with us impulsive, impetuous, in-the-moment types?
That's a great question. Are we going to break? Do I have a few minutes to?
We have got 2 minutes here before our next break.
Okay, because I want to talk about this, and I want to come back to this.
Okay.
To answer that question, you can come from both perspectives in a sense. In other words, let me just use an easy example. Let's say you make $3,000 a week. I'm just using a random number. It could be anything. Or let me say this. Let's say you make $5,000 a month. Now, if you want to go out and buy something, that's okay. I'm not saying not to. But first, I would highly recommend you taking a percentage of that $5,000 a month or whatever it is for you and put that out in savings. Ideally, 10%. If you can't do that, put something out, even $5, $10 a month, whatever it is. The other thing is this, and this is really cool. I heard this from Warren Buffett. Let's say you want to go out and buy, if you're a woman, you want to go out and buy an outfit. And let's say it costs $200, whatever that is. Ask yourself the question, if I was to take that $200 and put it into savings, how much would that be worth 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15, 20, 30 years from now? That's just something to think about. And the other thing to think about with that is, if you're going to buy that outfit for, let's say, $200, say, okay, well, how can me buying that outfit for $200, if you're impulsive and you want to buy that, how is that going to make me money? Now, you may be thinking, well, how in the heck can that make me money? Well, let's say you're buying a $200 outfit and you're working somewhere and that's going to help you close a $3 million business deal. Well, then, of course, you want to buy the outfit. So it's just different things to think about when you're buying things, because again, most people will just buy things because they just want that emotional high, but just think in terms of buying things and how it can help you make more money. So if you have, again, if you have a high value on money, you'll think in terms of this. And one last thing I want to say, I know we're going to break. I'm not saying not to go out and buy things, but just be more aware and conscious of when you spend your money, what you can get out of it.
That's a great piece of advice. Thank you, Chaney. Chaney Weiner is our guest today here on Full Power Living. He's a founder of the Chaney Institute of Human Potential. You can find him at Chaney Weiner, that's ChaneyWeiner.com /CIHP for the Chaney Institute of Human Potential on the World Wide Web. So listen to these messages and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Do you know that emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years? Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us. Four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar. Chaney Weiner is founder of the Chaney Institute for Human Potential, and we're talking with him today about emotional management that can lead you to greater wealth. And Chaney, before I go into more questions, did you have enough time to finish up your response about how the impulsive, impetuous, in-the-moment types can become wealthy?
Yeah, I'd actually like to make one more point and bring up another example with that because it's really important. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right, let me use me as an example. Now, I have a high value on physical health, and I like to go to Whole Foods, and I like to go to Trader Joe's. I don't know if you guys have Whole Foods out there. I know you have Trader Joe's out there, so I'm sure those of you listening are familiar with those two places. And really what I'm getting at is that you will have a tendency to spend a little more money in there than you would if you go to a regular supermarket. So I go to these, not Trader Joe's, but I go to one or the other every day, because I like my food fresh, and I eat pretty good, and I only drink water. So why am I bringing this up? Well, the reason I'm bringing it up is because I have a high value on physical health and eating right and drinking water. So now the question is, well, how can that help me make more money? Well, by me eating like that, it keeps me energized. By being energized, I get more creative. I come up with ideas, I come up with products, services, programs on how I can help people. And for me personally, that helps me in my business, and it helps me when I speak because I'm more fresh, let's say in better physical health, and that ultimately turns out to me making more money. Now, I'm bringing this up for a reason because, you know, how can something like food make you more money? Well, that's important. How can that help you manage your emotions? Well, I'm not going to get too much into the whole medical because I don't really have the medical background, but one thing I do know is that when you eat well, it makes a big difference on your metabolism and your energy level and things along that line. So I wanted to get that in there because this does t- tie into the whole emotions, because I know if I was eating junk food and sugar and all that, my emotions, I'd be on an emotional roller coaster. So I want to bring that part of it in there as well, because I know a lot of people have a tendency to, I mean, it's not their fault to kind of neglect that, but I want to bring that in and, again, make sure everyone understands how you can take something like that and tie it into your emotions, and how you can take that and turn it into having more wealth, in this case, financial wealth.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chaney, for covering that. Now, here's another question. Lots of the baby boomers are now reaching retirement age, and for many of them, their savings and investments were impacted by the economic downturn in 2008. But I think the fact that people have lost some of their savings brings foreground an issue that a lot of people have, but I've noticed they feel even more as they are starting to get older and retiring, and that is a fear of the future economically. The big question of, am I going to run out of money before I run out of life? Talk to us about that, please.
Well, wow, we could do a whole show on this. In fact, I have an entire program on this, my Roadmap to Financial Freedom program. I talk all about this. But in a nutshell here, first of all, it's really wise, and this ties into the whole managing of the emotions. When you start saving money, I wanted to mention this from before, and I'm going to tie this into the whole fear of the future thing, that when you start out saving, to put your money into a conservative saving, like a money market, something beyond the bank, but not into more high-risk investments, typically like a money market. Yes, it might be only 2% or 1% or 3%, but you don't have to sit there and have the fear of, oh, my God, what if the market crashes type of mentality? Because what a lot of people do is that they'll take their money and they'll dump it into one investment, which is something you never, ever want to do. You don't want to put your eggs in one basket, but you also don't want to, even if you diversify, you don't want to put it into higher-risk stocks or funds, that type of thing. So the one thing to do is, in essence, a preventative maintenance. Be more conservative and then earn the right to risk, meaning that as you build up a certain cushion or a certain amount of money in that conservative account, you can go to higher levels of risk. So that's one thing to do. Now, for the person who may have had a situation where they put their money in higher risk and it got wiped out, this goes back to what we said earlier. Just look at, believe it or not, how did that benefit you? What did it teach you? If you didn't do that, what would have been the drawbacks? Ask those types of questions and really take a look at it. I'm not saying to just totally forget about it, especially if it was a situation like what I was in where you may have thought that somebody ripped you off, that type of thing. But just really look at how the lessons you got from it and how you can use that now to move forward. Because really, again, there's really two things going on. Is how can you prevent this to begin with, but if it happened already, how do you go about it? Well, it really doesn't matter on what your age is, because it's never too late to start, especially now when you can go and do your own business. You can get your own business up pretty quickly and start making an income, even if you may be 60, 70, whatever your age is. So age is not really that much of an issue like it used to be, so to speak. So those are just some of the things. In terms of the fear of the future, again, this is going to depend on someone's situation, but I just give a general, just some general ideas of what you can do. Obviously, you can't go back in time and change what happened, but you can ask the questions that can help you clear out emotional charge so you can move on with your life. Because, you know, like if you take the people who got, let's say, quote-unquote scammed from the, you know, Bernie Madoff and all that, you know, there's some people who are, believe it or not, who are just going to hold on to that for the rest of their life. And, you know, I'm not saying to just let the guy off the hook, but, you know, the bottom line is you don't want that to run your life anymore. Just, you know, how can you learn from it and move on and really do now the opposite? Instead of having the money go away from you, well, what can you do now to draw more money to you? So these are just some general tips that I'm giving that every one of you can do, take out, and apply in your life.
Okay, you made a statement. You say you just have to ask the questions to clean out or clear out the emotions. What are those questions?
Well, if it's in a case, well, let's just take a situation where someone you may think scammed you, or maybe you invested your money and the investment went bad and you lost all the money. A couple of questions. One, you would ask, well, if that didn't happen and everything would have gone the way that it wanted, that I wanted it to go, what would have been the downsides? What would have been the drawbacks? Now, at first, people are going to say, well, there weren't any drawbacks. I would have been rich. I would have been wealthy. I would have had more money. Take a look at that a lot closer. Now, let me give my example. Now, I move out to California. I give this person $30,000, which ultimately was going to be $75,000. If everything would have gone the way that I would have wanted, what would have been the drawbacks to me? Well, number one, I certainly wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now. That business of his, I believe, went under, so I would have lost even more money, okay? And I would have been living out in a place that I really didn't want to be living in at the time, and I could just go on. I would not have met some of the people that I've met as a result of that happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just giving general examples for me, but whatever it is for you, you want to ask those questions, because it's very easy to get addicted or hooked on that fantasy that things would have been the way I would have wanted them to be if this would have gone the way I wanted, and look at the downsides of it, because that's going to clear out a lot of that charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important. And the other question you want to ask is, well, this happened, you know, I gave money and I got scammed for, let's say, $30,000. Well, what were the benefits to me of that? How did I benefit from that? And you did benefit from it. I benefited from it. And when you take the time and look, you're going to see that. And the important thing there is you're not doing this for the other person or letting them off the hook. You're doing this for you. So it's not running your life, so you can get on with your life and learn from it and go and do the things that you love to do. Because as long as that emotional charge is there, it's going to follow you until you clear it. So you may as well ask these types of questions, clear it, and move on with your life. And yes, it's going to be a little challenging at first, but it's worth taking the time to do. So again, you could run your life and not have other people run it for you.
Mm-hmm. And while we're there, a while back you said that you don't necessarily have to forgive someone if they took your $30,000, for example. But my learning, Cheney, is the same as what you've just said, which is that forgiveness, which is letting go, and if you don't forgive, then you're holding anger inside of you. Forgiveness is really for me, not for the other person, so I don't have to keep carrying everything anymore.
Well, we can get into the whole semantics thing, but the bottom line is, whatever that is for you, if you want to call that forgiveness and that works for you and that truly, truly clears it, then call it forgiveness. If I'd like to call it, thank you, I appreciate you, I'm grateful, that's what I call it. But
okay.
Again, all that counts, it's not the words so much what you call it, it's the actual act of I cleared it, I see the gifts in it, and now I can move on.
So if we go back to that, thank you for clarifying that, Cheney. Sure. I get what you're saying there. If we go back to what I mentioned at the top of the show, focusing on what we want to become, which is a person of wealth, what three things would you recommend that I and our listeners focus on in order to successfully bring wealth into our lives and keep it in place over time? What are three things to really focus on?
Well, certainly, number one, what are your values? What's most important to you? What are the things that you love to do? What are the things that you're inspired to do? What are the things that you've always dreamed of doing? Think in terms of that languaging versus I've got to, I'm supposed to, I need to. There's a big difference. So number one, your values and the languaging. I love to, I'm inspired to, this is what I've always dreamed of doing. Number two, certainly, if there's any emotional charges that are sitting out there, ask those quality questions. You know, if it would have gone my way, what would have been the drawbacks? You know, what happened? Whatever that situation that you may have perceived as being bad, how did it benefit me? You certainly want to ask those questions and clear that out. And the third thing is really to, and really this is along the lines of the other two, is just to look at those situations as being gifts and just being grateful for them. Because every person comes into your life for a reason, and we may not realize this at first, but just what I'm really getting at here is to look at every person, every situation, every event that occurs in your life as a stepping stone and really as a way to get you to realize the brilliance and the magnificence and the genius of who you are. And again, we're all mirrors of each other, so if you see someone else as ripping you off in some way, the bottom line is you've ripped somebody else off in some way. It could have been a conversation you had with them and you interrupted them. That's a form of ripping off. But there's nothing wrong with that because we've all done it. And really, also what I'm getting at is to be true to yourself. That's the third thing. I'm saying it in a roundabout way. But just be true to yourself and really honor the brilliance of who you are because, like I said, we're all mirrors of each other and what we see in others, we have in ourselves.
You know, just to finish off, that's really, thank you. Those are really great. You brought to mind that as many people, I grew up taking things occasionally from people, and at one point I finally decided that didn't feel good to me anymore, and I stopped it. And I did have people steal things or take things from me, but since that time, since I have decided, no, I don't take anything, you know, it's just not my value, I have these wonderful experiences where, say I work with somebody, I may temporarily forget to collect the money from them, and they will look me up to give me the money. And so that's sort of like the other side of that, and a really great feeling when that happens, too.
Yeah, because really the bottom line is let's be true to ourselves. I mean, we've all done the things that we see in other people that we don't like. We just do them differently. That doesn't mean that we're any better or worse than someone else. We just do them differently. That, again, is, that's our value. So the whole giving and taking. In fact, I really like what you mentioned because that's also a residual effect of it is exactly what happened with you.
Mm-hmm. It's really great. Well, Chaney, thank you so much for your years of effort. I know you've been working for a number of years to help people stay balanced and experience success and be and feel wealthy. And I want to remind you, our listener, that the Chaney Institute for Human Potential is at chaneyweiner.com/CIHP. And I've put that on both the chats. And Chaney, thank you for what you're doing, and also we are delighted to have you here on Full Power Living with us again today. So thanks for your returning and being with us.
Thank you, and thank you for keeping up with the show, because I know you've been doing it for a while, so keep going. You're doing a great job.
Since 2004, thank you.
Yeah, 8 years?
Yeah. Okay, join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living. And remember, next week, Roy Stemmen is going to talk about the Big Book of Reincarnation, the Big Book of Reincarnation with me. In the meantime, sign up to listen to some of our archives at emotionalpro.com. And I want you to look for announcements coming up for me about an exciting telesummit I'm going to be part of in September on emotional intelligence. I'm talking about what it takes to raise an emotionally masterful child. And I'm also offering a lucky participant 3 free hours of individual or family coaching from me, a coaching tutorial for people to learn how to parent consciously. So Robin and Paul Johnson of Fresh Talk Media are our producers. Thank you, Paul and Robin. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become. Thanks for being with us.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.